It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Quick shot scores! Samuelson with the blast! Kemper had to deal with Zucker going past the net. It's 2-0 Buffalo.
Never lose again. What? This team will never lose again.
Benson plays it back to the point for Byram. He's got traffic in front, scores! Both Tage Thompson and Alex Tuck were there. I think Alex is the one that touches it for his second goal of the game.
We get like a hat trick bet tonight.
Tuck
hat trick.
Oh, Alex Tuck, he's got two with the puck. Scores! Hat trick, Alex Tuck!
Everybody's coming in trying to prove themselves, and we're trying to prove as a team that we're legit. We're not just going to go for the playoffs. We're going to go for the cup, and that's our goal. It's get better each and every day. That's it. That's the end goal. We're going to be ready to win.
It's a war path.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Sabres, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. It's negative two outside.
Is that the real feel or the real?
That's the real.
That's the real.
That's not the feels like. That's wow. The real. It's a real minus two. But the Sabres remain hot. Jeremy and Joe, hey everybody, good morning. Happy Friday. You made it to a Friday. It's cold. Schools are closed. Our garbage pickup is closed.
Oh,
it's canceled today. No garbage. They just said like next week. We'll see you next week.
Not even like, well, no one's doing it on a weekend.
We'll see you next week. Like, all right, we'll find a way. So anyway, good morning. Happy Friday.
He called an Alex Tuck hat trick over
there. Yes. Wow. Something has become clear. When you leave, we can see the future in sports.
Apparently.
The only time the Fantastic Four-Way Parlay actually hit, you were not here.
Correct.
Now you leave and Owen picks a hat trick. So now we have a new tradition. When you leave, we're going to start laying. We're going to do it. We're going to get after it in a heavy, heavy manner.
All right.
So there you go. Lots to get to today. The Sabres. Listen, a good topic about the Sabres would be, how good can they be? And I feel like Alex Tuck just did it.
He did.
He said the words.
Yep.
Guess who's not getting traded at the deadline?
That guy. Not the guy that just said the word cup.
Not the guy that said that for the first time since when? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Last Sabre I might have heard say the Stanley Cup in any capacity might be the GM talking about wanting to compete for cups, and our cup window is open.
Mm-hmm.
He said the cup window is open in the final year of Granato, I believe is when he said it.
Okay, yeah.
Which I thought, great, that's great. And
before that, maybe it's Pegula and that Beyond Blue and Gold after they signed Taylor Hall.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that might be the time for.
Top five times you've heard the cup mentioned.
Yep.
And man, here we are. The Sabres have won five in a row. They gained a little ground on Detroit last night. The East, I was scoreboard watching through the night. I saw Florida losing to St. Louis, and they came back to tie, but then they lost in regulation.
7 seconds left, 8 seconds left.
Yeah,
I was watching.
Yeah. You have a playoff field in the East where there has been a gulf. 8-9 is 8 points.
Yeah.
Which is
eight point
gap between the Sabres and the Panthers, and the Sabres play the Panthers when Sunday. Soon.
They play Montreal on Saturday.
Okay, and then it's going to be Florida
like
on
Monday
Tuesday.
Monday or Tuesday.
And then they play Pittsburgh as well in the mix. Sorry, I had the schedule up here. I should pull it back.
Yeah, Montreal Saturday, and then at Florida Monday, at Tampa Tuesday.
All right, that Florida trip. You want to convince me the Sabres can win the Cup? Go on that trip and get 3 out of 4.
Yeah.
They always lose one of those games. It's always a lock. If they go to Florida and beat the Panthers, what are they going to open their lead to 10? 11?
By the time we get to the All-Star break?
Yeah.
Or the Olympic break? Are we talking about 10, 12 points?
Who knows?
I mean, if they keep playing like this, I am enjoying watching these other games, by the way. Not always for good reasons. Like last night after the Sabre game ends, I'm thinking, all right, let me throw the Detroit game.
So you saw the dumbest goal of all time?
Yeah. I saw the Red Wings down 2 with a minute left and thinking, beautiful. You're going to be 2 points. Bang, goal. Detroit. I'm like, all right, fine, still. They're down 1, 50 seconds left. Puck goes off the little hole that the cameraman puts his camera through and shoots out into the net. And I'm like reacting as if the Sabres just got scored on. So that's fun. But then on the flip end, I'm watching St. Louis win the game against Florida with 8 seconds to go and like jump it out of my chair.
Take it. Yep.
Yeah. And that one, you know, you might say looking below the playoffs feel, I guess this is part of the conversation. I mean, if Tuck's talking about the cup, like I'm still in the mode of just make sure you get in. Yeah. Just build the gap as big as possible to make sure you get in. Like, Detroit getting a point, they're ahead of you. The team that is first out losing, to me, is still bigger for right now.
For sure.
Because just ending the drought, getting in, and like taking it from there, to me, is still mission number one.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, in a couple weeks, maybe post-Olympic break, we'll talk about the race to host game one. You track down Detroit, you're going to host game one of that of a series there.
Or how about just avoiding, I mean, right now, Montreal, Boston, Buffalo all have 67 points. If all three of those teams made the playoffs and everything else stayed the same, you're fighting for the opportunity to not have to play Tampa or Carolina.
True. But it is one of those years where if the Sabres and the Canadiens played in the first round of the playoffs, which they very well could, I guess it lines up properly. That'd be 7 versus 8 in a 16-team field. That kind of does work that way. The Sabres have 25 regulation wins. Here are the teams with more regulation wins than the Sabres. Colorado, Tampa, Dallas, end of list.
Incredible.
25.
Yeah.
Teams you're in the mix with, like Detroit has 22. I mean,
what's about Montreal?
Montreal has
one, right?
19.
Yeah, 19.
They just keep winning. They just keep winning in such workmanlike fashion. And I walked in this morning thinking about Alex Lyon and whether or not I want him extended and wishing he was on the final year of a deal. They have him for next year, too, which is great.
Yeah.
If he wasn't signed for next year, should we be talking about that?
Like, he has a Sabre record now in goal.
He has
Dominic Hasek and Ryan Miller have played for this team before.
That's right.
So,
but he also has. They posted his. You know, they put his stats up on the screen last night before the game. And you brought this up when they signed Lyon, which is this guy has been just fine pretty much everywhere he goes.
Yeah.
Like, he's not some sort of reclamation project. He's a guy that for whatever reason has never solidly locked down his own net, and he hasn't really even done that here because he's in a three-goalie rotation where he plays really well. But he might be on his way to a good contract next.
Yeah, he started more than 30 games once in his career.
All right.
And he really didn't get into the NHL until he was 30. So, like, he was a late bloomer. But, right, like, the 4 years, it was always looking at him versus Lukanen for me. Like, when they came into the year, the last 4 years, which is basically Lukanen's career, and it's basically Lyon's career. Lyon statistically was significantly better.
Yeah.
Now this year you're getting, I think, a good thing, which is Lyon is holding up to that standard and probably going beyond it, and Lukanen is also rising to it at the same time. Like, they're getting a good goalie game every night.
Yep. Pretty good.
Like, they weren't perfect all throughout that game yesterday. Like, the second period, King spent most of the of that 20 minutes in the Sabres' end. And Lyon just always looks, as much as I feel like Colton Ellis is chaotic and always like scrambling around, and he does get away with it sometimes, I feel like Lyon is always like the composed dude that's just in the net, never looks panicky at all. There'll be like a wide open shot from like the middle of the slot, and I feel like he just throws the blocker out there. He's like, I got it. I'm easy for me. So, yeah, like, they're getting a good goalie night. Samuelson has more points than he's ever had in a season since he was 12 years old.
He has 9 goals now?
Yeah, 9 goals on the season.
9 goals.
9 goals, 32 points for Samuelson.
Lyon had 3.48 goals saved above expected last night.
Yeah, that's about as high as
that's a big number. That's kind of stealing a game that you won 4-1. Because expected goals in this game, it's like 4 for the Kings, 4.5, and the Sabres are hovering around like 3. So, man, what a vibe. What a time. 803-0550. Alex Tuch says the word, the cup. And, I mean, I feel like it's a funny existence right now with the Sabres, which is, are we sure it's not a fluke? Is this, could it, have there been 82-game flukes? Have there been 4-year flukes? Because, what are they at, like 25 games of almost of looking like a really good hockey team?
And it's the best 25-game stretch in team history.
That's pretty darn good.
So
they are.
Yeah.
There is a, again, like, we're at the point where I'm, after a game, wanting to talk about one play, one shift. And they didn't even do anything on it, but it's obvious. There's a play in the first period, early, where I don't even remember who gets it up to Quinn, but Quinn kind of hits the line with speed. He ends up going around behind the net, and nothing comes of it. But in that moment, I'm thinking, this team is blazing fast.
Yeah.
They put so many teams on their heels with how fast they play. They can turn from the D zone to the offensive zone quickly. They got guys that are fast, whether that's McLeod, whether that's just whatever.
And all that, of them. Every line's got at least two guys every that line. Are super fast.
And Quinn, I don't know if he's thought of as the fastest guy, but like on that play, he's just like shot out of a cannon. And what can you say? They look amazing. And the question I guess I would ask about Tuck's comments about we're not trying to squeak in. We're thinking about the cup.
Yeah.
I don't want to say like that's a message to Yarmo, but that's a message that got to be a message inside the room. Are they talking about it with the GM? Is the GM, when he speaks with them, if he speaks with them, have they won more games in franchise history in a 25-game stretch and the GM hasn't been like, well, nice work?
That
is he still acting like it's like, I'll trade any one of you right now still?
Yeah. Well, that comment of we're not just going for the playoffs, we're going for the cup, we're not here to just squeak in, is a lot of what Yarmo talked about in his opening press conference and the day after when he was on with us and then any interview he's really done since, which is, I mean, he said it multiple times that the worst day of a season for him is a worse feeling the day after losing a playoff round than the day after a season, you know, where you just missed in total.
Yeah.
Like, basically was the message that he
was
giving.
The farther you go, the more it hurts to
lose. And his actions in Columbus expressed the same thing, that he was making moves not to just get into the playoffs. He was making moves to win beyond that in that season in Columbus. So I've got a guy who I think has taken those words Tuck said yesterday and put them to action in the past. So that would mean to me that you're keeping Tuck and you're adding something else beyond that. I don't know what they need, though.
Honestly,
they kind of are pretty complete. Like, they could probably use a third pair defenseman that could play more than 9 minutes a night, but like, that's a little thing. That's something you get for like a fourth round pick.
Right.
Like, it's not a major trade.
I've listed the top of the list of questions to get to Paul when we talk to Paul at 7 o'clock is, all right, let's talk about it. What do they need? Or what would you do?
Right.
I don't know that you're looking at, you like to point out the Florida trade, Huberto for Tkachuk.
Yeah.
That's not an in season kind of thing that you do.
That's off season.
But like, is there a move where they would say,
well, Florida's made a lot of other trades. I mean, they make the Marchand trade in season.
That's right.
Right?
Right.
Trade like that. And, I mean, even if you could say, like, if a forward like that was available right now to the Sabres, do they need a guy like that? No, but do you want to get better off? You know, you want to take Jack Quinn and put something on top of it and make it into a 25 to 30 goal scorer? You want a power, like I've talked
you
about
a power play
specialist.
That's what you want. I want a power play specialist. You want somebody that's going to wake up your power play.
Yeah, that is ideal. That's what they need.
It can be woken up, or you know, if the design of it is so, I guess, uninspiring.
It's the only thing they're not good at.
Yep.
At the moment. I mean, everything else. Like, I wondered, me and Owen had talked about this. Like, Owen was come more confident in this than I was. But I had wondered if they could hold up scoring at this rate all year, if they had the finishers to do that. That's getting
they score four goals every night.
There's no worries about that. The blue line right now, your top four is as solid as it could be. You have at least two goalies you trust on a night-to-night basis and a third that looks pretty good, I would say, throughout the year. Like, you're not, unless you're going for like the clear-cut number one there, I don't really need to add another goalie unless it's a superstar. So like, the only thing I think you can look at is power play. They don't even have everybody in the lineup. Right. They could come back from the Olympic break and Norris and Luukkonen, and maybe, I mean, we'll see about Kulik.
Right, but those are guys that are not in the lineup.
Like, right. Yeah. Like, they're not even completely healthy, and I feel like they look like a complete hockey team.
803-0550. So you want to share on the Sabres vibes? We are here to do that. We'll, of course, recap Joe Brady's introductory press conference as well. We heard from the GM. We heard from the coach. We heard about Keon Coleman a little bit more. We heard from the quarterback, too, who walked into that meeting on crutches with a boot on his foot. So lots to get to this morning. We'll have some fun on Friday and stay warm if you can. We'll get some phone calls here on the Sabres as they beat the Kings. Alex Tuck hat trick. Matt starts us off. Hey, Matt, good morning.
Hey, guys, morning. Thank you so much for taking my call. Hey, I just wanted to call real quick. So I am 48 years young, and I have kids. When my wife and I had our kids, I had visions of them, you know, becoming a huge Sabres fan. I've been watching this team for 35 years. You guys have been watching them forever. Earlier this year, we were seeing a lot of familiar things, and I was starting to wonder, are my kids, we're 17 and 14, are they going to grow up and move out of the house before we get any, you know, memories like I had with Plant coming in on Tugnut, Mayday, all that stuff. And I took my kids to the game last night. First game we've gone to in a decade. And, I mean, like you guys were talking about earlier, the way they've been playing through this stretch, this is not a fluke. I feel like I've fallen through like a Marvel sparkly circle into an alternate dimension where, you know, Andrew Garfield is playing Spider-Man again. Yeah. What the heck is going on here?
Matt, can I ask something about being at the game? Can I ask something about being at the game? Because what I noticed at the game is that it's kind of like being on vacation in Vegas or someplace where everybody is really excited to be on vacation. The arena right now, the full vibe is everyone's like, can you believe we're all here and this is happening?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's like being in a fever dream because they're playing at a level. I mean, this is not a fluke. They're playing at an elite pace. And to be honest, I'm not surprised at all somebody mentioned the word cup after last night because I don't see this stopping. I think this is who they are. And how did this happen? Okay. From what was going on at the beginning of the season to this, I can't believe this has ever happened before for anybody.
Yeah. Thanks, Matt. The Ryan O'Reilly Blues are one that said that was a coaching change, though, right? They fired their coach.
Berube came in.
Yeah,
that was early. It was like November.
This is they fired a GM, and I guess you don't always think about that as being as direct. And you know, like just what happened? Matias Samuelsson, who plenty of us wanted bought out and thought like this is never coming back.
Yep.
In part because he couldn't stay healthy, and when he did play, he wasn't very good. But Samuelsson has returned to what he was very early. Very early, they never lost when Samuelsson played. In his first season.
That first big year.
Yeah, the first breakout year with Granato. I think Granato referred to him as their eraser. Mm-hmm. And whenever Samuelsson played, they won. Mm-hmm. Period. And now, the level he's playing at, like they've got a blue line. Bowen Byram, same kind of deal. Like Byram has been, for me, like this mysterious low event guy, all about like, well, he's supposed to be really good, but Colorado gave up on him, so how good could he be? Like, I had, what's the reverse of the benefit of the doubt? I figure if Colorado doesn't want a player, he must not be any good anymore. And he comes to Buffalo, and now he's obviously important to what they do. And the Josh Doan trade and the Ryan McLeod trade. Like, with the trades that Kevin Adams pulled off, kind of represent to me, like, let's dig into the McLeod for Savoy trade. That is enough about somebody's ceiling, enough about somebody's potential. I'm going to get an NHL player that can play today and makes my team better. Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to wait around for one of these 7 first round picks to be fully cooked and ready. You take them. I'll take this player. I feel good about it. I don't care what he becomes because I need to be good now. I need to get better now. And boy, has that ever paid off. Like, McLeod is a big part of what they do. So, a series of trades that they just kind of nailed. The Cousins for Norris trade, I don't know if you'd call that nailing it, but like when Norris plays, he's good.
Yeah.
And Cousins was kind of lost here. The Paterka trade, and Kesselring, I still kind of don't know what I've got there, but Doan is better than Paterka.
I thought Kesselring looked better last night, but it's just been the injuries.
Sure, yeah. I kind of don't know yet.
Yeah, right.
He played like 13 games?
Yeah, it's not many. Well, on top of that too, like that trade, especially that one, because you're trading one of your top prospects. But part of the mentality there was, I've got a million of those. I've got a million guys like him. Right when they trade Matt Savoy away, I got a bunch of guys at that age,
Oslin, Rosen,
and that's getting proven right now that you had other ones and you didn't need another one because you flipped him for a veteran. And oh look, Austin's really good, and Benson is amazing. Like, those two players are just in your lineup and helping you on rookie contracts right now. Like, sure, in theory, another one like would help you, but you didn't need another one.
Yeah,
and Hellenius even at this point like looks like he's decent. I don't know if he'll stick in the lineup once everyone's healthy, but like you're totally fine when it comes to like the 18 to 21 year old skilled forwards that are starting to come up in the organization. Like that cupboard was full. Samuelsson, by the way, you mentioned. The one thing, though, that he is doing that is just so beyond even what he did that one year. That one year where they missed by one and he was great. They went an 8-game losing streak when he was hurt in the beginning of that season. He was their eraser. He was not putting up any offense.
No.
Nothing.
He's got an 8-game point streak.
He's never done it in his life.
Right.
Back to high school hockey. Like, he really hadn't done it. And right now, he's on a 52-point pace. He had 43 in 5 years before this season.
Yeah, it's nuts.
He's on pace to beat his career total in points this season. That's insane. Like that, and I keep wondering, like, is that going to keep holding up? Is that, I mean, their defensemen are so active, and his shot is so heavy that it might hold. Like, he might score 15 goals this year, 16 goals this year. I don't know.
New definition to career year, when a year actually outpaces your entire career.
Your entire career. Like, yeah.
Career year.
He had 43 points in five seasons before this year, and he's got 32 right now.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
It's nuts. Paul in Buffalo. Paul, good morning.
Oh, good morning, guys. You know how you know if the people who vote for NHL awards pay attention? If you're paying attention, there are two guys that need to get Norris Trophy votes. One is J.J. Moser for the Tampa Bay Lightning, who has had to become their number one defenseman this year. And, his plus 40 and their record tells me he's doing a good job. And Matthias Samuelsson, who, despite the fact we have, in my opinion, the best all-around defenseman in the world on our team in Rasmus Dahlin, Matthias Samuelsson has been the best defenseman on this team, and he deserved Norris Trophy votes. I'm not saying he deserves to win it, but if you're paying attention, whoever votes for that award, you cannot overlook this man. I'd like to say, though, all hail mighty Alex the Lion King. You do not set goaltending franchise records for the Buffalo Sabres often. Whenever you do, it is one heck of a feather in your cap. And listening to his post-game interview, he gives as good a post-game interview as Ryan Miller did, which is shocking. Ryan Miller gave some of the most insightful answers you'll ever hear from a hockey player, as does Alex Lyon. And if you look at the video from his interview, over his right shoulder was a sign above the locker room door. It says, "Finish strong." And doesn't this team finish strong? They lock up everybody in the third period, whether it's the Montreal Canadiens, a young high-flying team, or a cagey veteran team in the LA Kings. And you could tell they got under the LA Kings' skin all night from the fact that, you know, we ran their goalie, they ran our goalie, it was chippy all game. That's playoff hockey. This team is awesome. I love watching them. Let's go, boys. Can't wait to play Montreal, another young, upcoming, star-laden team. It's going to be fun. Guys, have a great show.
Thanks, Paul. Alex Lyon, so I'm at moneypuck.com. Goals saved above expected per 60. So minutes played, I put 20 games. He's played 20 games. So guy, 24. Guys that have played 20 games or more, Alex Lyon in the NHL is eighth in goals saved above expected. Eighth. The Sabres, the last couple years, you know, how is this happening? He calls out Alex Lyon. We're saying how the goalies have been, all three of them have given them good starts. Last year, what was their best goalie in this department? They've been living in, their three goalies are 43rd, 62nd, and 73rd. Mm-hmm. They've been living in the basement for goalies. In fact, I will look this up for next season to see where the best goalie they had.
But last year?
Yeah, last year.
Last year, Reimer saved seven above expected.
Reimer.
But like
that, but that's part of the point here.
Yeah, Reimer didn't play all the time.
Reimer finished 13th. It was Reimer who came in to save your bacon.
And a lot of that was in the last month of the season, right? And it was already over.
Right. Lukanen finished 48th last year in goals saved above expected per 60. And now, this year, the Sabres are just getting better goaltending. What have we said about this team for a long time? What do they need to be better? Saves. Mm-hmm. Like, get saves. And they are consistently getting saves while also scoring four goals every night. Good formula. Score four.
Yeah.
Make saves.
Yeah.
Profit.
I mean, last year, I mean, Lukanen's the biggest difference there. Lyon has been a huge improvement over the other guy that they have had. But Reimer, or the Lukanen difference that I'm looking at right now. Like, so Lyon has saved 18 goals above expected this year. Lukanen's at 8, and last year he was at minus 8. It's a 16-goal difference.
Right, which is flat out how
from
many...
From your other guy.
Which is probably how many wins.
And even Ellis, like, is at 3 above expected. So, like, between the three of them, that's 29 goals. That's 30 goals rounding up with the decimals.
Above
30
expected.
Goals above expected, yeah, that you've saved. And, like, I think that... You ask, like, can you be fluky for 82 games? You can. You can just you can get goaltending like that, but usually you have to couple it with the power play. And because the Sabres' power play stinks, they need to be great at 5-on-5. They need to put 60-minute efforts out there. Like, I think if they were, like, I think Boston is a little bit of this right now. You could be fake good, but you got to have a hot goal a year, and I think you have to have the one other component. I think you got to have the hot power play. And because the Sabres don't have that, I believe it's more real. Like, you want to talk about playoffs. Tuck's talking about playoffs. Guess what they don't do in the playoffs? They don't call penalties.
That's right.
So guess when it's more important to be good on 5-on-5 and less important to be good on the power play when you get there.
803-0550, our number. The Sabres, we got them back. They got us back. It's all back. It's been incredible last month, 2 months. Jeremy and Joe, get more of your calls in. Paul Hamilton at 7 o'clock. Sal at 7:30. Howard's going to check in at 8 o'clock. His thoughts on the Joe Brady hire, on the Sabres. So lots and lots to get to throughout the course of the morning. When we get back, I'm going to play a song I've been meaning to play. It's an old Sabres song. I've been telling you guys about it for weeks. Finally, I sent it to Joe Kelly because last night when Alex Tuck said the cup, I'm like, yeah, what about that song I've been hearing all the time? So we'll play it for you next. It's not the we're going to win that cup. It's not that
one. It's not
the
75 song?
No. It's one from 2011. We'll get that next.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550. Gonna be that in an hour.
Really asking, how close are we to getting to the point where we are talking about like Sabres players individually and what we know about them personally, and I'm sorry, something's in my eye, sort of the 20 years ago deep dive kind of life we were living with the Sabres. Mm-hmm. Are we getting close to the point where we're going to want to know like what Peyton Krebs' favorite food is? Are we getting to the point where we're going to talk about them? Are we how far away from that?
Who's the we here? I don't.
Lucky Pants.
Okay, Lucky Pants. Sure. I don't remember any of that stuff happening.
Really?
In 05 and 06.
Favorite food?
Yeah, I don't.
That exactly?
I don't know. I'm not saying it didn't. I mean, I'm not the best at always remembering all the details. But I mean, I just think interest has got to be peaking right now.
How perfect is their timing for us?
Couldn't possibly be better.
Because the Bills thing is pretty sad right now,
uh-huh.
I think. I'm sorry. I'm distracted by something's in my eye. How much better could their timing be for this sort of, not malaise, but this kind of melancholy feeling about the Bills, you know, not just the, again, losing in the middle of the AFC playoffs, but the coaching hire seems kind of lame.
And the news conference and, yeah.
News conferences. Yeah. We'll definitely talk about that.
No, the door it was wide open for something to walk through it. And, you know, the Sabres, they got going before, obviously, it was, you know, before the holidays. That they started streaking, but it was, you know, sort of, we were still, as the holidays were ending, that Columbus game was at the tail end, I think. It was after New Year's, I think.
The loss?
If I have it right. Yeah. Wasn't Dallas the 10th win in a row on New Year's Eve, and then that Saturday after New Year's? Do I have that right? I might have the weeks mixed up a little bit. I'm sorry if I do. Anyways, that game marked the end of the 10-game winning streak on a Saturday, early January. And from there, they just sort of picked right up again. And that's, to me, when it got real. Like, I don't think there was anything fluky about the 10 in a row, unlike the thing that happened 7 or 8 years ago, you know, when they won all those overtime and shootout games and were still largely getting killed in games, but they were getting results. So, yay, we're in first place. It's Thanksgiving or whatever they were. I don't remember if they were actually in first place, but it was going well. And then it just completely derailed.
Jeff Skinner in overtime
against San Jose.
San Jose, okay.
There was a Montreal game that they also...
That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, maybe he scored them both, but I think the 10th win in a row was San Jose Skinner. And this win streak did not remind me of that at all. But you never know. right? Because we've been through it, and I think you could still sort of skepticism was warranted, even though they had reeled off 10 in a row. But the fact that they have still only lost, what, four games total, 3-3-1, 18-3-1 is the record now in their last 23 games, is kind of bonkers.
19-3-1.
19-3-1, thank you.
Yeah. I'm not sure I'm right.
It's hard to keep track. No, I think that's right. I think there was another one. Yeah, the last night was a, added on to the total.
It's 22 games. But anyway, 23. No, you're
23.
Right. 23. 23 games. Sorry. I'm bothered by whatever's happening to my eye. Yes, I think so. They won 10 games in a row, and that was really fun and interesting and kind of funny because, they changed general managers, and here's Paul saying they have to win 10 in a row to make it interesting. I'm like, no, they don't. They have to make like 5 in a row to make it interesting. But then they won 10 in a row, and they were still in the middle. And since then, it's, what's the math? 9-3-1 since the 10?
Yeah. That's right.
And I've paid more attention to these games since, than those games. And they just look so good.
Yeah.
Like, is there any part of – this is the question. Is there any part of you, anybody listening, yourself, that thinks it's a fluke? Like, what is the fluke component in this? It's still hockey. It's the NHL. Mm-hmm. And as we know from Sabres history, as you said, bad teams get hot or at least get on a roll and win games in a row. But does this look like a team that isn't for real? Or is it our past that's working on that, that's sort of making it? Where is everybody on this? Does it make sense? This is maybe the primary question is, I asked you this, an hour ago. Does it make sense that this is all happening?
It is hard. I was asked this. I've been asked this randomly by people that I just happened to run into someone at Dash's on my way here.
Tell me that story.
I was asked this on, I do say in the ads, I'm in there 3 times a week, and if you ever see me, stop and say hi. So, that happens. And I was asked this question on Toronto radio yesterday. What has changed? And I will continue to say I don't think you can overstate the impact of removing the general manager. I can't prove it, right? There's not a metric other than them just tearing the league up the second they heard that it might be coming to a head. They won in Edmonton to start this streak. And that week, that was a Tuesday, that Monday was when we started hearing rumblings that like something's going to happen. Or something could happen. And sure enough, when they got home from that trip, it happened. And they got going halfway through that trip. And I think when you don't believe in who you're working for or the overall, I just think there is a limit to how far you're going to go. And that has been completely removed. This team, to me, the thing that I think isn't fluky about it is that there is a commitment to playing. And then, at some point here, I don't know, maybe it'll be tomorrow night, they'll have a game like the Columbus game because they were objectively awful, like 200 feet all around in that Columbus game. They just didn't have it. And there'll be a game here where they're not going to have it. I mean, maybe there have been some here that they've still managed to win. I don't know. But they are, everybody talks about hard to play against every year. Every GM, coach will tell you we want to get harder to play against. And what is that? That is a commitment to just never quitting on a play. Josh Doan, there's a reel of Josh Doan takeaways where he's back checking and just doesn't give up, comes in, takes the puck, goes the other way. That has sort of spread through the team, and that is what I don't consider any of that fluky. I think it is just they are trying harder. I know that sounds crazy because they're like the record is incredible here for what is it now, 6 weeks or however long it's been.
December 9th is Edmonton.
All right. So
it's almost February.
It seems a little too convenient because it lines up time-wise. You know? I mean, Adams acquired every one of these players.
I am so grateful for this, for all of this. Hard to play against can be an entire show.
Right?
What does that mean? I think 20 years ago, when we were here last, that meant to me scoring a lot. Because that team scored a lot. And, you know, miss me with, you know, miss me was not a phrase. It's already been, it's come and gone in 20 years. But I didn't want to hear about how that meant, like, body checking or the walls or just, you know, anything, the neutral zone stuff. That to me meant I'm scoring the hell out of, you know, I'm just scoring all the time and I'm going to win because you can't outscore me. And I think that's happening right now. Not to say your thing isn't.
No, they're scoring like crazy too. I'm like, trying to count right now. There might be only four or five teams in the league that have more goals.
How many of these games since this all started have they scored at least three, almost all of them? No Columbus, no Carolina. Twice. We decided it was 23 games. Twice have they not scored at least three goals. So it's hard to play against at all attached to scoring goals. How about these goals last night? You know, all of it, just pass from the right wing, deflected by the Leafs. Goalie goes the other way. Oh, it's in. Like there were even one disallowed. So they're scoring like crazy. And to me, sort of this is what that means. But honestly, like I'm just a caveman right now when it comes to the Sabres and all this hockey analysis. I feel like it's so long ago. Maybe it's just, it's a generation ago, really.
Yeah.
It's not 2011 that rates, other than the trivia of it being the last time they made the playoffs, it's 2006. It's 06-07 when they were really good.
Yep.
And then 10 was a fluke. It was a Ryan Miller fluke. And then 11 was Terry Pegula buys the team. The feels come back. Somebody called yesterday about like the history with Pegula. And the one thing I thought of was that night at the end of the regular season in 11, when he had all the alumni there, that was an amazing, that might have been the best night ever in that building. Just the,
it was pretty great.
I mean, tears everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
So there was that, but was that team good? Like they were bad until now. And then they just,
they were a little bit, it's a little similar to this. You know, like that something happened that had nothing to do with the lineup or the ice or the matchups or any of it. It was just something changed. Here comes an owner says, I'm going to, you know, do I need to recite the, give you the
Stanley Cups.
The Stanley Cups. And,
you can't say it like that. You have to say it the
Stanley
way.
Cups.
Stanley Cups.
Stanley
Cups.
Right, right. I always love the emphasis on the on
only
the
person there. I've ever heard say
right.
it that way.
Stanley Cups. Yes.
Like he'd just been informed of the
right, right.
the term, the thing.
So, you know, that sort of, oh, you know, like the cloud is lifted. And I do think that that is the largest factor in all of this. There are lineup things that did happen too. What was that an O because something just happened?
No,
should I stop talking?
No.
Okay. You know, Norris rejoined the lineup somewhere in the midst of the 10-game streak, or maybe even before it. But like there, he had an absolute immediate impact. Josh Norris getting in the lineup. Osland is in that on that trip. He gets sent down because the three goalie thing, and Lindy's mad about it. That precipitated the firing. I don't think that it was the smoking gun or anything, but it was Lindy sort of doing what McDermott did during the football season, right? He's like, I can't say anything bad about him. I love him. He's great. I'm paraphrasing, but
he won.
It was, yeah,
in this case,
yeah. The kid, it was, you know,
Lindy
he was right back. You know, and now Hellenius, you know, having a positive impact. Like they've got something new there. There are two new impactful young forwards that were not a part of the group, really, even when the streak began, barely. Osland was. Hellenius has come in late and sort of kept that rolling. So those are lineup things that are real that I don't think you want to underestimate. But to me, it's still more about what am I getting all around the ice from my top four defensemen. We'll see if Kesselring eventually can take some heat off of those four guys.
I'd bet on it.
I me too. You know, Thompson is not look, it's not just because they're winning. I watch these games, and when guys make bad plays, I usually notice. Like, why are you on the wrong side of that? What's that pass? What are you doing here? And Thompson feels buttoned up. You know, you're just getting a lot from your best guys. I mean, Dahlin last night, 5 points and a hat trick. I mean, holy cow.
Thompson is your belief point.
Yes,
I think.
Yes.
He might be the best example of, all right, I'm buying in.
Yeah.
He's already super good. He got his money. He scores like crazy. Highlight reel stuff. Mario Lemieux comparisons. But then, like, why isn't he caring at all about the play going the other way and these bad decisions, maybe selfish? And now you might say he's at a point where he is invested.
Absolutely.
In the results.
That's what
he's scoring, too.
I feel like his play tells you that. I don't know that he would even ever – he's certainly not going to tell you that publicly. Like, I really wasn't trying. Yeah, how's that going to go over? But I think the results, shift to shift, speak for themselves. They're just getting a lot more out of – again, you know, a couple of kids, okay, but mostly it's the group. It's the same group. And, you know, it's everybody, right? It's Beck Malenstein is here absolutely to be used as a bullet taker, blocking shots and just ramming people. But you've got Jason Zucker doing that at the end of games, you know, where they're up comfortably. And he's like, everybody's just in. So
it's so much fun.
Yes, it is.
There are... I can think of three players top of my head that I was so done with. Three stars of, like, completely done with. Nothing matters anymore. This woebegone franchise. Is the owner still, like, awake during games? Where we were 3 months ago, 12 months ago, 36 months ago. Mm-hmm. Just, like, whatever you want to do. They re-sign Zucker. Why? Okay. Well, go Sabres. They don't move on Samuelson. Look at Samuelson.
I know.
Like, just, right. Oh my God, this guy's, he's a disaster. Like, he won't eat, the one thing we need him for, physical presence, he's not up for. Now he's
a wrecking ball.
And a sniper.
Yeah.
Like, just, this guy, Byram, I don't know yet what I want to do with Byram, but... Of course you have to move him. Young, big, skater. I mean, they wanted to, I think, last year.
They didn't.
And then they couldn't.
Yep.
And then they signed him. Like, oh, that's, of course, the Sabres would do that because you're going to try to spin it into a positive. And, like, he's relevant. I'm not – you're going to tell me if you think he's, like, good. But, you know, still, like, he's somebody.
He matters a lot to the speed – and how hard, like, hard to play against is not just defending, and it's they are so fast, and he's a big part of that in the offensive zone. He's a great skater, and he's a great puck handler. He's still not, to me, buttoned up in his own end, but the pros far outweigh the cons at this point. Like, I'm not eager to swap him out for anything right now.
Well, Bulldog, you can't, yes or no, I'm asking, not telling. You can't trade anybody right now off this group, or can you? Tuck. Like, you can't, you really can't.
I don't think
mesh
you can
Tuck.
I don't think, I think you're at a point now where if you can't get to a contract extension for him, I think you're going to just put your head down and live with it. Like, go to the summer.
Fine.
And see what happens. Because whatever you're going to trade him for is not. Unless there's some incredible trade out there that gets you his replacement, which is not how that trade works in the NHL. Like, if a team is trading for Alex Tuch and presumably going to sign him to a contract extension.
They're playing to win.
They're playing to win. They're not giving you a 27-year-old 30-goal scorer back. Like,
no.
This is not happening. You might get someone who could turn into that in a couple of years, or even a pick, or maybe both things.
Anything but that disrupts
not, right. You can't
this,
do it.
You can't do it.
You can't do it. I don't think you can anyway. So, and this GM, by the way, presided over a Columbus team that was leaning hard into trying to get to the playoffs and rode through the deadline with Panarin and Bobrovsky, and both guys flew the coop in the summer, and he got nothing back for him. But like
How did that go?
He did it. Is
that the year they beat Tampa?
Maybe. I don't know if they won a round. That's the year they won that round.
Do you think he would – I don't know him at all, Kekalainen. Do you think he would be unmoved, blown away, anything by the reality that there's a talk show in the United States that's talking about a hockey team? Because, like, I think maybe – what's going to happen? They have five games left before the Olympics. They're home the next two, L.A. tomorrow, Montreal on Saturday. Is it pretty safe to say that nothing is going to go so sideways before that break where, like, we need the Sabres? The timing couldn't have been better. I was talking to, you know, a guy, do I need to preface this, someone you have adored admired for so long, Adam Krautwurst.
Oh, well, of course. Well, that's appropriate.
I was talking to him.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't known him for long enough to be able to talk about the Sabres. He said something about, like, this is the first time he's in Rochester, right? This is the first time I've ever, like, sort of woken up in the morning and wanted to know how they did. And so that, you know,
that's new.
That's everybody has. That's what 2006 was. There were people who were not, like, hardcore fans. They didn't know who Gilbert Perreault was. They didn't know who Hasek was. But everybody around them in this community was, like, into it. And is it too much to say that we are on the cusp of that? Or are we into that right now? Last night, they go to play the Leafs. And the Leafs are a little bit down. And they blow them out.
Yeah, the Leafs had like big meetings with the leadership group. That was it's the last game of a five-game homestand, and they had lost 0-3-1 coming into last night and a five-game homestand. And so they had a big, like, guys, come on, you know, we got to start now, lean hard into the Olympic break, and we'll like salvage our season. And now what's being written up there is, like, last night, that's the end of it. Time to sell Toronto.
Well, they're having a you can't lose at home to Buffalo moment.
Right. I would listen.
That happened in 06.
I am not the guy that goes, and I know people do this, and I'm sure it can be fun, that goes listening to the out of town, you know, the other stations, right? But Toronto's so close.
You would if you weren't a guest.
I would love right now to know what is being said on the show that's opposite ours in Toronto. If they're talking about the Leafs, and if they got an eye full of Buffalo last night, because it's young, it's fast, it's tenacious, and, I mean, they just ran circles around them.
I think it would feel like an ending.
Yeah.
Even though it isn't one. It isn't really an ending, but it would feel like one. Because the Sabres have been so lowly for so long.
Yeah, just an easy
and
mark.
We're just down the road. And if they pass you in the standings, kind of by a little bit or a lot, and then they go into your building when you're supposedly desperate and you just get handled, that would feel like, okay,
yeah.
Well, you're trading people today.
Full-on crisis.
And we have been so despondent, at least I'll say this for myself, if not, I'm not speaking for everyone, but so despondent and, you know, it's like so over there. I don't even care to talk about trade deadline conversations because, like, I don't even care. Like, just do what you got to do. The Sabres have been sellers or quasi-sellers for a decade, at least. And now it's like, it's always very just latent. Right under the surface is the possibility that they can just kind of find the switch and we're all like ready to play and party and go with them. And I think, like, if it wasn't happening already, last night might have been that. Like, I got nothing else to do. I can watch the Traders. It's a stream. I can watch it later. The curling is on you. That can wait.
Yep.
I can just do this right now. And you go to Toronto. You get the disallowed goal. You get the feels going. And I'm down 2-1. Austin Matthews pretends to be excited about a goal he scored. That was all so fake, I thought. But maybe not. I don't really know him. And then it's just sort of a Thompson's goal at the end of the first.
Tuck's goal 15 seconds into the second.
5-3.
Like, just, yeah, we're here for you.
This is what we want. This is it.
Yeah, it's really hot right now.
Let's indulge the Sabres and the fans. 803-0550. Chris Trapasso joining us today at 4. Not only the Bills, the aftermath, sorry, you know, in advance, nothing against Chris. The aftermath, the coaching hire, the Senior Bowl, the draft.
Oh, right on. Yep.
I've got my pen. I've got names. I'm ready to write down names for the 26th pick. So we have that. We'll talk to Sal as well and Paul Hamilton later on. We'll look for your calls next, 803-0550. Thanks for listening. This is fun. That's allowed. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. This is WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton.
All right, Paul Hamilton right here on the West Hur Hotline. Sabres, big 4-1 win last night over the LA Kings. The winning ways just keep happening. They just keep rolling on. Last night, Alex Tuck with a hat trick. Alex Lyon wins his 10th straight game, setting a franchise record for the Buffalo Sabres. Let's start there, Paul. Good morning to you. And boy, who would have thought this would be something we'd be talking about with Alex Lyon, and pretty much a journeyman goaltender who shows up in Buffalo and now suddenly has the franchise record for a win streak.
It was funny, you know, talking to him on the post game last night. He's basically like, make no mistake, I'm not Ryan Miller or Dominic Hasek. He said, I idolized them growing up. And it's just, you know, he happens to have the record. But it's so weird because, you know, Buffalo has had Dominic Hasek and Ryan Miller and Tom Barrasso, but yet they aren't the ones that ever did this. It's Alex Lyon that's done it. You know, the Sabres have gone to the Stanley Cup Finals with the French Connection. They went to the Stanley Cup Finals with Dominic Hasek. They had a team with Ryan Miller and Briere and Drury that, if they didn't get injured, probably would have gone to the Stanley Cup Finals. None of them have gone 23-1. None of them. But this team has.
It's unbelievable, really, what they're doing right now. And we've kind of dug in a little bit over the last few chats we've had about why this is happening, why the turnaround. But one thing that's really starting to show, especially listening to Alex Tuck in the locker room yesterday, is the belief. Belief is a powerful thing. It's not just hope anymore. It's confidence that this is happening every single night. For him to start talking about, hey, we're not just trying to squeak in. We're trying to actually win a Stanley Cup. And you look at the standings and go, yeah, why not? I mean, you're seventh in the league right now in overall points. But he kept mentioning belief and confidence.
Yeah, and, you know, this is a team for years that every time a game came along, it's like, well, we hope we win. Now it's like we're going to win. I mean, and you're right, it's a different mindset. And they believe that. They're not just saying it to make themselves feel good. They believe it when they're sitting in that locker room in pregame during warmups. It's not like, they're this, or they're the Stanley Cup champions, or they've won for 20 years, or they've done this, or they've done that. It's, we're going to win this hockey game. And it's a big, big difference in the mindset that you have. Because a lot of people are wondering, I get asked all the time, these are the same guys. How are the same guys that we've watched stumble all over themselves for the last 2-3 years, basically as a team, and even this year until early December, how are the same guys doing this that we're doing that? And it's the belief you just talked about. It's the change in the organization, the change in the general manager. It's like we're in the NHL again. We feel like we matter. We feel like we matter in this league. You know, it's just a whole different mindset that they've had with, again, the same guys.
I want to talk a little bit about Alex Tuck and his season. A lot was made going into the season about contract extension, what they should do with him. At the time when we started talking about this, I think a lot of people felt, okay, maybe they'll be in a position where they need him to try and make a playoff push, and then you have a decision on your hands. Paul, I don't think, to me, there's a decision now. It's either, I don't know if he's going to get signed, but he's on this team. If you have to deal with having him on this team and not under contract next year through the rest of the season and then figure it out, fine. If he walks, okay, that would suck, but you know what? He's on this team. There's no way you can investigate trading him now, right?
Even if he were to come to management and say, I'm not signing, I'm going to leave in free agency, Same. I agree with you 100%. He stays. Now yep. he becomes one of your own rentals instead yes. of going out and trading for a rental. Whatever that may be. But you, I don't think under any circumstances you trade him, because what you're getting back isn't what you need. You don't need futures. You don't need draft picks. And you would get a lot for him. But that kind of stuff you don't need right now. And they need Alex Tuch for this team moving forward, whether he signs or he doesn't sign. If he leaves in free agency, I will not criticize it one iota. Mm-hmm. Because they need him on this team to achieve the goals that they want. He's a big part of this team. And if he were to be traded, I think it would devastate this team.
What they do need is maybe a little power play help. And it doesn't have to come from the outside. Josh Norris's injury does impact this team from that standpoint. What can you tell us about, you know, his situation right now, his timeline? Also, UPL, he's obviously dealing with the lower body injury, and Jordan Greenway as well.
Yeah, Greenway's going to see a doctor on Monday. I mean, Lindy Ruff said, like, if somebody got hurt in warm-up yesterday, he could have played. It's not that he can't play, but he's trying to play through pain from a surgery that was last summer. And it's just the program that he's on just really isn't working for him. So, you know, he's going to see a doctor on Monday about it and see where it takes him. As far as Luukkonen, it was going to be a week, and they go from there, see what happens. Lindy Ruff said they have not discussed the Olympics with him for Team Finland. It was just, let's see what's going on after a week, and they'll go from there. But, of course, I mean, as much as the Olympics mean to a country like Finland or Sweden or the European countries, the Olympics is their Stanley Cup, the Buffalo Sabres have to come first. And, you know, so it can't mm-hmm. be, well, I'm 90% or 85%, I'm going to the Olympics, and then get hurt even more and not be able to play for the Buffalo Sabres. The Sabres have to come first. And I'm not saying Luukkonen would not put them first, but they have to come first. So we'll see where that goes. Norris, it sounds like he hasn't been on the ice yet this week. It sounds like they would like to take him through the break to be sure. Lindy Ruff, when he talked about it, almost was like, you know what, I think maybe we rushed him before because he got hurt again, and we're not doing that this time. We're going to be sure. And it sounds like maybe he could have been on the ice this week, but I think they would rather maybe take him through the Olympic break and get him ready to come out of there and be ready to go.
That would be an area where they could improve. Also, a lot of talk lately about face-offs that I've seen. Do you think this team needs to improve in that area, and is there a way they can do that on the roster, or they have to go out and look for somebody?
Absolutely, they need to improve. They got a guy. They signed a guy who's played four games and broke his kneecap. Danforth, actually, I think, mm-hmm. was at 54 or 56% in those four games that he played, and he is a very good face-off guy anyway. So, you know, I think that's one of the reasons they signed him. And Jarmo Kekalainen would know him from Columbus, so he knows what he brings. But I think face-offs are the key thing that, you know, anytime you need a draw, you know, he can go out there and win them with the best of them. So I don't really think they do practice it, and they try hard to get better at it. It just doesn't seem like most of their guys are going to get better at it. And even Josh Norris wasn't really doing great this year at it, although he is a good face-off guy normally. But, you know, they just have to get – I'm looking at Danforth. Yeah, 54.8% yep. in the four games that he played. Norris is at 49.2%. He can be better than that.
And then Josh Dunn is hurt too. He's also a guy that can help there.
Yeah, so if Danforth comes back, then you got a guy – now you got to get him into the lineup, and you would say, well, who are you going to take out? You know, you got Kozak and Krebs and Malenstein, who are doing very well. Dunn was doing very well before he got hurt. I mean, I have Josh Dunn in my lineup anytime he's healthy. I'm sorry, with what he brings to the table. So then I say, well, where does Danforth fit in to right. have a face-off guy in your lineup? But all year long, Sal, and this is what we do. This is what we're paid to do. Well, how do you get this guy in the lineup? Who's going to have to sit or whatever? You know what? It's only happened once this year that they've had to make a decision. It was on Ostlund, and it was only for one game, and he came back. Every time it's time to bring somebody back, somebody else gets hurt, and there's an open roster spot, and it's never really materialized with all the, you know, all the debating that we do about, well, you know, when Norris comes back, who's going to go? What? Well, this guy's playing really well. Does he deserve to go down and everything? And as I said, that's our jobs to do that. But then in the end, it's like, well, yeah, two more guys are hurt, so there's the roster spot.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. Sabres, Canadiens tomorrow night, a big game in the Eastern Conference. Paul, I'm looking at the standings every night. I'm watching scoreboards every night now, and everybody around the Sabres keeps winning as well. The East is unbelievable right now. 8 of the top 11 teams in the league points-wise from the East. 8 of the top 12 point percentage-wise are from the East. That's what's making it even more impressive that the Sabres are having this season and keeping pace. I think in a normal quote-unquote year, they'd be buried by now because of the way that the East is currently structured. So right now it is a dogfight. Now there is separation happening between the playoff teams and the non-playoff teams, but man, it is a fight every single night with these teams. There's a lot of good talent in the East.
Well, the Lightning are second in the league, but the thing the Sabres at least have going for them is they have four games against the Lightning. They haven't played them yet.
Yep.
You win all four, you basically are you're all set. Now you're with them. You got to basically probably win all four because they're at a points percentage of 692 and the Sabres are 632. But the Sabres are right on the tail of the Detroit Red Wings at 636. And if you look at the first team out of the playoffs, the Florida Panthers, they're back at 557 right now. So the Sabres are starting to put some space between themselves and the teams fighting to get in. The Bruins have the last playoff spot at 609. And the Sabres are at 632. So both wild card teams are from the Atlantic Division. So you got the three teams that are 1, 2, 3. And then 4 and 5 are the top two wild cards in the Eastern Conference. And so are the Florida Panthers. They're the team out. So 7, 8, and 9 in the conference are all from the Atlantic Division.
Yeah, and the Sabres are mathematically within striking distance of passing the Red Wings for second place. They have two games at hand, only 3 points back. And obviously that would be the difference between home ice advantage or going on the road for the, four games in the first round. So obviously a lot of hockey is still to be played, but it's super interesting looking at that. Paul, we have not talked about...
Quickly, ahead, if you're looking forward, it's pretty likely the Red Wings and Sabres will play in the playoffs.
It's starting to look like that way.
The way
isn't it
sits. Now you're saying... And you're right, who gets home ice advantage? That's going to be key.
No doubt. Paul, we haven't talked since the game in Toronto. Maybe we did, but man, Rasmus Dahlin, for what he went through, and we knew about it that day, and his fiance posted on social media about it, and that they were expecting a child, and that she lost the child during her heart failure. And then that night he goes to Toronto to have that type of game. I mean, what can you say about this man, and not only on the ice, but off the ice, and his leadership and what's happening with this team and how they're following him?
One thing he said is what's gotten him through are his brothers helping back in Sweden. Her family is back in Sweden. So there's all sorts of family and help back there for her, which allows him to be here. And now that he's here, it's his teammates and the Buffalo Sabres organization that have totally stood behind him. And Lindy Ruff has told him numerous times, family comes before hockey. So if you need to go, you need to do something, you're going. And that's final. But, so I think that's helped him. So when he's here, especially now that things seem to be going okay, he can be happy with hockey. I mean, he got an assist last night. In his last 10 games, he has 7 goals and 7 assists for 14 points. Mm-hmm. And even Samuelson right now is at a point per game, and I think, with what he's doing. So he has 18 points in his last 18 games. Raise your hand if you had that one on your scorecard.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, in the beginning of the year, Matias Samuelson, 18 points in 18 games. Dahlin has really been ramping it up. He's been getting a lot of minutes. He loves it. The more he plays, the better he plays. Their top four defensemen are logging 20 minutes or more, and Ruff said they're fine with it. He goes, they're all playing better since they're playing more. So he's not worried at all that he's overplaying those top four.
All right, Paul, tomorrow night, big game in the arena. Saturday night, you know, the last time the Canadians came to town, I was there, and there was a lot of red and white, right, for the Canadians. I'm expecting still a lot. Yeah. I mean, I'm expecting a lot still, but, I mean, the more this starts happening, maybe we'll start to see a little bit less of that than we've seen over the years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think what you're seeing are people that maybe sold their tickets long before the Sabres got hot.
Yeah.
And, the more these games mean something in future years, you hope that the Toronto fans and the Detroit fans get kind of locked out. Even the Boston fans come down. They have some from Southern Ontario that come in, that they start getting locked out of the arena, and that Sabre season ticket holders, even though they're making a lot of money by selling these tickets, would rather be at the game watching these games and cheering on their team than making the money that they might make selling them to Canadians or Leaf fans.
Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. It is the Sabres and Canadians pregame at 6. Paul Hamilton's going to be all over it at PHAM1717, and of course, WGR550.com. Have a great weekend. We will talk next week. Thanks a lot, Paul.
Yep, and Dom Hasek is in town for the premiere of his movie tonight.
I love it. Well, tell us about it. Anything? What's that? The documentary, right?
Yeah, I'll be down there.
Always a goalie.
It's a premiere that they're doing I was invited to come down, and
all right.
looking forward to it, to seeing it, seeing a bunch of different people down there, and should be a great time. And it'll be available for fans to see. I don't know exactly when. Maybe I'll know more after tonight, you know, and tell fans when they'll be able to watch it and see it.
All right. Thanks a lot for keeping us updated on that. Thanks a lot, Paul.
Okay, take care.
All right, Paul Hamilton. You can follow him on Twitter at PHAM1717. This weird thing that is happening with Paul Hamilton's Twitter that happened a while ago, and we've tried to figure it out. We don't know why. It's kind of weird. It's not that he blocks you, folks. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is if you go to his Twitter, at PHAM1717, like, I tag him, and sometimes it doesn't show up as a link. And, like, that was happening with Bulldog back in the day, and I said, "What? How come when you tag Paul that he's on, and it shows up, and it doesn't – but then you go to a different format. If you go on, like, maybe your phone – or then you go on a laptop, it does. And I'm like, I still haven't figured that out. I told you, everything's kind of weird right now. Everything's just, it's the upside down of Stranger Things, like I said. Yes, I finished season 3 last night. And I really don't know. I mean, now I'm invested and I got to continue on. But it's like, it's kind of doing the same thing over and over. Although, it's pretty cool. I like it. Watching it with Mac, so that's pretty cool. But I was asking when the show started today, if you've watched it, like, does it get a little more too adult, maybe? I'm not really sure. I'm like, okay, I'm watching this with my 12-year-old son. There's some things coming up, and I'm like, yeah. And I think his parents, you probably all go through that, right? And at some point in your life, so, yeah. The upside down and Stranger Things. Bills have a new head coach for the first time in 10 years, almost. Sabres are talking about the Stanley Cup. It is bizarre times here in Buffalo sports. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. It's the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Some stuff has been said about load management in the NBA I want to talk about with LeBron and Michael Jordan. And then, man, Emmanuel Acho yesterday. I mean, you want to talk, you know what? I'm going to talk about that when we come back. Emmanuel Acho, what he said yesterday, you talk about ragey, clickbait kind of talking points and things that are said, just utterly ridiculous. I'll touch on that when we come back on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Start your blower up, and if it's a cold start, just let it run on idle for about a minute or so before you go revving it up to maximum velocity. As you work over an area, don't move in a straight line. Use more of a semicircular or arc-like pattern. When you work like this, you're focusing the material towards one point. And remember, you don't need to be running your blower on full bore all the time. Back off on the throttle a little bit and just use little bursts of power. They can be really effective.
I long for actual leaf-blowing temperatures. if I'm being real here. But
You know what? I talked to Jean-Luc Grandpierre.
Yes.
He was saying they got a ton of snow in Columbus.
Yeah.
The day before, he was blowing leaves off his yard because he's like, my one tree, it's late in the year, and he sheds it late. I'm like, dude, we haven't been leaf blowing for months now,
but they have.
We did yesterday.
North of the border, they have. It's one win in eight for the Leafs and five straight losses on their homestand because Buffalo is now 19-3-1 in the last 23 games. Yes, we're coming to life here in downtown Buffalo. Sun is out.
It's beautiful.
KeyBank Center. And obviously the Sabres are home now for two. LA is practicing across the street at Lecom Harbor Center right now.
We laugh because the guys are walking out of the locker room down at KeyBank Center and they're like, where's that secondary rink? I'm like, you got to go up the stairs.
They need more travel coordinators and team personnel.
They fill out a place because there's a lot of snow downtown.
Kings have won three in a row. They're 3-0-3 in their last six. As they come in, they'll face Buffalo tomorrow night. I don't think Kopitar is going to play. The hope is he's going to be in before the end of the road trip, which has back-to-back games this weekend for LA. So that's unfortunate. But boy, Marty, last night, 7-4 over the Maple Leafs.
Yes.
And I'm really looking forward to, as always, Shayna Goldman joining later in the show, mm-hmm. just to maybe get a different take on something else or something we're missing, anything that helps add to the story of 19-3-1 over 23.
Well, the good thing about the story of 19-3-1 is, yes, Tage Thompson has been fantastic. Mm-hmm. And, yes, goaltending has been really good. In weird situation, the start of a 10-game winning streak was Colton Ellis having to leave at the end of the first period against Edmonton. And you're like, wow, this is going to be a tough place for Alex Lyon to be in. No, Alex Lyon was fine. And they won that one in OT. Last night, you're like, oh, this is going to be a tough place for Colton Ellis to go in. Toronto is desperate. You know, you're down 2-1. No, you know what? Let's get back into the game. And Colton Ellis was really good. But it has been different people all the time. But the ones that you know are going to step up when you need them mm-hmm. are your top guys. And Rasmus Dahlin last night was the one that you were like, I picked him as an anytime goal scorer because I'm like, going into Toronto, thank you. I didn't pick him as a anytime hat trick goal scorer. But, you know, anyway, it was like Dahlin's going to go into Toronto and want to put that stamp on this game mm-hmm. and saying, you know what, like, we are for real. The hockey world, to a certain extent, like a lot of national media coverage, is based out of Toronto, based out of New York. Like, those are big games. And Dahlin coming through. So that's maybe where I'm looking to expand on that a little bit and saying, everybody's at their sin. The kids line at their sin in Nashville. You know, Alex Tuck is at his sin. And Ryan McLeod's at his sin. And Bo Byram is at his sin. But the big games, Thompson and Dahlin have come through in major ways.
They have. Dahlin's career matching 5-point night last night with his first ever hat trick has him kind of where you would expect to be among defense scorers in the NHL. Yep. I think what's interesting is when you look at, and they obviously, you know, combined last night for 8 points. You know, we talk about lines having a big night where they combined for 8, 9, 10 points. Well, Dahlin and Samuelson had 8 points between them last night. And Samuelson has now cracked the top 25 in defense scoring in the NHL this year. So he's at 31 points. The group is at 127 points, which is sixth best in the NHL. And they're now tied for second in goals from the defense with 35. So we've talked about it for a long time, but I think, and I, of course, just to extend the storyline that you created with the anytime goal scorer, I was leaning on Owen Power last night, but I do find this fascinating, the production that they have from the blue line with the upside that still obviously exists for Owen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is...
And Kesselring, too, to a certain extent.
100%, like, based on what we said in the offseason, right? So, is it possible to get even more out of the blue line when those two reach closer to their max potential? I don't know. It's like, how many ways can you divide the puck, you know? But the point is, the Sabres are now top five in the NHL in goals per game. They're actually fourth. 3.38.
Do you remember how excited I was 3 years ago when they were top five in the NHL in goal scoring?
Yeah.
And but now they're doing it by going 19-3-1 and having one of the lowest goals against in that time.
And obviously overproducing the expectations, right? They're creating chances, but they're not top 10 in expected goals for, but they are number one in goals above expectation, meaning that, well, if you were supposed to score 2.7 a game and you score 3.38 a game, like you score almost a half a goal more, you are at the top of the league in that department. But I do believe that you mentioned Thompson, Line, Benson, and Tuck. I think Zach Benson is energized to be back with Thompson. We saw it in the second half of the New York Islanders game. Those plays, the plays where he crossed the hands, hit the side of the net to Tage Thompson to score late in the second period against the Islanders. The play that he made from behind the net, yes, the goal was waved off because of an offside challenge, but that's how you start the game. Start the game by having a play from down low to Tage in the slot, score. Doesn't count, but that line was great. I still go to now, Josh Dome look very much like himself yesterday, playing with Oslin and Helenius. And in the second period, 3-3, Bobby McMahon scores, makes it 3-3. I have my next few notes are Dallin, great chance in front, and then right away, great shift started by Oslin line. That, to me, is the line that has been able to give the Sabres that extra push, right? And you look at the numbers yesterday. As a line, shot attempts were 19-6 for the Oslin line. Look, that's what I was talking about. Like, you're going to get a good matchup.
Yeah.
And that's what you're getting. Now, it reminds me a lot, and I know we celebrated 05-06, but when Derek Roy was playing a third-line role, and all of a sudden it was like, that kid's line is playing well. Why? Because they had favorable matchups. Teams have to worry about McLeod's line, obviously, with Zucker and Quinn. They have to worry about the Thompson line. And you come in at Oslin, even on the road, and you're like, we're going to have a good night. We're going to be pulling our weight. And they've done that, and it's been really fun to see.
Sabres practicing today, too. Luukkonen and Greenway are absent, so obviously we'll get a little bit more. Lindy was talking about Greenway's absence last night, so they'll get a little bit more detail and just where he's at in this ongoing battle, if you will, with last season's surgery and then subsequent second surgery in the summertime. So he's perhaps not ever been 100%. He obviously had a little bit of, you know, load management through the course of the season. But now has missed the last two. And then Luukkonen left early last night. And you mentioned Colton Ellis and how this has all gone. Did want to get some thoughts, some post-game sound from last night, just with Lindy. There's only maybe so much you can say about a player like Rasmus Dahlin, who hit 400 points for his career last night, obviously had a first NHL hat trick and so much more. But Lindy on his captain last night.
You know, he just said, this is funny. He said, I don't even know how to act because I've never done this before. You know, we know there's a lot of hockey left, but I'm happy for him. This is a guy, and I've said this before, he's gone through, a young man's gone through a lot. And I'm so happy for him that he's getting rewarded for all the work and all the adversity he's faced. And this has got to put a big smile on Carolina's face, too.
Most of us can't imagine, you know, what the things that he's gone through this year and how, you know, I mean, but he's not only playing, he's thriving. In that, and I'm just wondering if it's just sort of, you know, is this a release for him or something?
You know, I think he understands that every time he's needed time, we've said family comes first. You know, I think he really respects that part of it. He knows that hockey is second and family is first, and you know, that's the way life should be approached. You know, I don't really know what to say because unless you live what he's gone through, you can feel the pain, but I don't think near as much as he has.
So from the blue line position, from Dahlin's position, from everybody's view of Dahlin's position, like, what do you make of just where he is at right now? And I leave that open for you to interpret on ice, off ice, just everything about him.
Well, I draw a comparison with Erik Karlsson yesterday in the way that he's not afraid to make those type of plays. Like the plays that only the elite of the elite can even think of making, that pass to Jack Quinn. Like, who thinks of, I'm going to go cross ice 30 feet in the air and land it for Jack Quinn to skate into it. Mm-hmm. And Jack actually benefited from this being a flip pass, because when he shot it, the puck was on edge and it fooled Joseph Woll. You know, Erik Karlsson would do these things. But then you look at the other side of the physicality and the ownership in the defensive zone that Rasmus Dahlin is taking. Some of the little plays that, you know, he and Mattias Samuelsson are doing, the exchanges in the corner behind the net to make a cleaner breakout, mm-hmm. has been amazing. But then again, you're like, who, as a defenseman in the NHL, thinks of, you know what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to go to the front of the net, and I'm going to put myself in a position to deflect. Mm-hmm. Like Lindy Ruff was like, I don't think we see that, a deflection from a defenseman to a defenseman often. There is some that will do it. Kel McCarr has done it with Devontae's,
yep.
and Quinn Hughes has done it, and there's some that will do it. Bo Byram is doing it. Like, he's going to the front of the net. But that's what Dahlin is doing right now. But it's not just the offensive side of it. There is a really solid defensive side of it, an understanding of what needs to happen, how the puck needs to move, and a physicality to. And you mentioned, like, Kesselring, Power, Dahlin, Samuelsson. Like, Connor Timmins is probably going to come back at some point here, mm-hmm. and we know that he's nearing that. That's a big defense. Like, Bo Byram is the little guy, and he's not little. But he's like, that's a big group on the blue line right now.
And in the standings, they needed the 2 points again to hang on to their position, which is third in the Atlantic, because Boston won, yeah. Montreal won. The good news is they closed a little bit on Detroit, and that was because the Kings took care of the Red Wings by a count of 3-1, as they have won three in a row and come in here on Thursday to L.A. So when you look at, I mean, we're going to talk more, obviously, with Shayna a little bit later in the show, just, you know, the teams that are on the outside. I think what's most noticeable now is that because Buffalo, Boston, Montreal, who all have the same number of points, because they have been so hot,
yep.
it's starting to look really uphill for Philly, Toronto, Washington, New Jersey, right? And then the only reason I don't include Columbus in that is because they showed us last year their finishing kick ability, yeah. and now they're 5-1 under Rick Bonus. So if anything, I'm looking at Columbus and thinking, yeah, they're only 2 points away from jumping over everybody, so that could certainly happen. But their challenge to try to get to one of the wild card spots is immense.
Yeah, but if you're the Flyers right now, you're looking at the New York Islanders. You're saying we're 4 points back with a game in hand. That's trying to get in the top three in the Atlantic.
Right.
That's the problem for a team like Toronto right now, that is looking at Boston, Montreal, and Buffalo, and Detroit, but also have Florida in the way. And Florida seems to be the team that maybe will make a push and will be a little bit more in that conversation.
But they lost to Utah
last
night.
Utah yesterday. You're right. It was a 4-2 game. They scored with 15 seconds left to make it 4-3. But, you know, we're going to see Florida on Monday. So the Sabres have L.A., Montreal, Florida, Tampa. I mean, there's
Pittsburgh.
Three. And Pittsburgh, you're right. Let's not forget about the Olympic send-off that we're going to have here at KeyBank Center. So
Thursday, February 5th.
That's right. So, I mean, there's a lot of big games coming up. We've talked about massive games that has happened over the last 2-3 weeks. Mm-hmm. There's still some big games coming up. And you're right. If the Sabres lose to Toronto last night, they're not even in the playoff spot, because they would have been like, you know, they would have been second wild card,
yes.
but potentially, like, looking at, oh, who's coming
well,
behind
us?
Well,
if they had lost and Florida had won, you'd be feeling
a little bit
a
of heat.
Lot different, right?
Yes.
Like, that's the ridiculousness of this run of 19-3-1, which is still the best in the NHL. You know, do you ever find yourself now, like, it's fashionable because everything is sortable to, you know, the calendar turn. So most broadcasts that I watch right now, hottest teams in January.
Yeah.
The Sabres aren't even in it. Like, they're not in the top five in the hottest teams in January. And I'm sitting there looking at all these broadcasts going, well, that's wrong. That's got to be wrong. That's got to be wrong. Because, like, when do the Sabres ever lose? But
yeah.
you still have to go back to December 9th and look at it in totality of this 23 games and more than 2 months, but or almost 2 months, I should say.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious that there are that many. Like, I'm beating a dead horse here, obviously, but
Colorado?
The top nine teams in the NHL in the standings, five of them are from the Atlantic, and three are from the Central.
Yeah.
Like, what are the other two divisions doing?
They're not. Like, I mean, we're going to see the LA Kings right now coming in with the Pacific Division. And
I say,
like,
that tongue-in-cheek, because
I know
there's only
so
many points to go around, and the Kings have done a pretty good job at picking up a lot of points.
And they've done a good job beating Detroit yesterday, so that makes the big, like, better look for the Sabres to say, let's catch the Detroit Red Wings. But you're right. Like, you look at the Atlantic, you look at the Central, that is where the top teams are. Like, at this moment, you have five teams in the Atlantic that are better than seven teams in the Central, in the non-Central, in the Metropolitan.
Yeah.
That's where it is. You got Carolina, and then after that, it's everything in the Atlantic. That's why we've talked about it, and I'm going to go back into it and say, okay, maybe I wasn't a fan of the 1-8. I like the divisional. Now I'm like, I'd like to see 1-8 because I think it would allow for the Sabres to have a little bit more of a cushion in that situation.
And, of course, when you look at the West, LA is sitting there with 57, same as Seattle, same as San Jose. The Sharks are in right now based on, you know, regulation wins and fewer games played than Seattle. But it is ultra tight. And as hot as Utah has been for 5 weeks now, they are still just barely above San Jose, LA, and Seattle. So it's, I love just, you know, last night was, you looked at San Jose won, they've won two in a row, 3 out of 4. Seattle won, they've won 2 in a row, 3 out of 4. And I mentioned where LA's at with it was funny because they were in what was a four-game losing streak with a lot of beyond regulation games, and now they've flipped that into 3-0-3 in the last six. By the way, not that we need to talk about it with Shayna, but
Macklin celebrating.
No, this goaltending for Canada at the Olympics, like Binnington again, and Thompson can't win for Washington right now.
Thompson can't
win. It's Kemper, and we'll see him Thursday.
Probably we'll see him tomorrow night. Yeah, and also, the Montreal Canadiens fired their goalie coach this morning.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, this is a team that is in a race with the Sabres right now.
Yep.
How's that going to affect? Like, Jakub Dobesh has played really well this year. His record is, you know, I think he's 16-5 and change. Like, that is really good. Montembeau is their guy. They still have Fowler. But they decide to make a change in season when it comes to their goalie coach and moving up the AHL goalie coach as an interim guy, but this is the guy that worked with Montembeau before the Christmas break when he was on his little, like, conditioning assignment or whatnot. So it's Montreal is feeling the pressure right now because of the way the standings are.
You mentioned Celebrini. Let's go quickly around the NHL for Dazzled Disturbed last night. Dazzling, of course, Macklin, because the list just gets shorter and shorter and shorter of superstars in the history of the game that have had more 3- and 4-point games as a teenager.
Yes.
So he did it again, but he did it again in his hometown of Vancouver last night, which he has done repeatedly in his still incredibly young career. What did you make of what you witnessed from Macklin last night in his 4-point game?
So it's funny because after our game last night, I'm driving home listening to the Vancouver broadcast, and all they kept talking about is how the kids are having their way. The kids are having fun, and Macklin Celebrini is leading the way with the San Jose Sharks. And yes, Vancouver is in a tough place right now. They just announced that Thatcher Demko will miss the remainder of the season with a hip injury. This is not the same injury. He was out for most of the last 2 years, but back to college, he had hip issues and hip surgery. So it definitely is troubling for the Vancouver Canucks, who had Kevin Lankinen. They pulled him. But the young kids in San Jose, like, they're fun to watch. And they're playing hard and defending. So now you got Askarov, Nedeljkovic, Laurent Brossois is in the minors. But they've got something going right now in San Jose.
And Kiefer Sherwood hasn't played for them yet.
Kiefer Sherwood has not played. That was a trade that they made to try to add some depth up front. San Jose is for real. Just like people are realizing the Sabres, like, and they're a good team, San Jose is a really good team ahead of what you thought was the timeline.
As Anaheim is, and that's why it's that much of a challenge for LA right now, among others, to still be that dominant team. Quickly on Celebrini and his face-off from last night.
Use your hand in the face-off, and that's a rule that, you know, has changed because guys were, like, holding the stick and then using their hand to bat it back.
This
so
is a
Max
practice drill from forever ago, right?
Guys would go, like, I remember Michael Pekka, because he was so good at draws. He would take draws with other players, but he would flip his stick upside down and do it with his knob and still beat players with his knob. So Macklin Celebrini goes in, ties the stick, uses the knob of his stick to lock it back. Like, that's a pool cue. That's a billiard cue that you're using to knock the puck back. Like, that was so impressive.
Yeah, it's amazing. And yet, all he's doing with his four-point games is trying to keep pace, because McDavid just keeps going off.
Yes.
McKinnon. Even Dreisaitl's just randomly throwing in these huge games along with Kucherov. So it's going to be almost impossible, dare I say, for Celebrini to finish in the top two in scoring this year.
He's 19.
And his stature within the game is only going to grow within the next 3 weeks on the Olympic stage. Like, I'm sorry, everybody, rightfully so, should be absolutely drooling at Team USA's chances in the Olympics here. Tage Thompson a part of it.
Yeah.
But, my goodness, like, McDavid, McKinnon, Celebrini, just to name three.
Shifley's not.
Although I did mention their goaltending.
Shifley, right? Yeah. Like, he's not on Team Canada, but he's in the group of top 10. But everybody's got a duo. You got McDavid and Draisaitl are there.
Okay.
You got McKinnon and Natchez are there. And then Celebrini's just hanging by himself in there with Kucherov.
But then you have the ultimate leader of the Boston Bruins in David Pastrnak. And, yes, he's going, but Morgan Geekie is not. And they are absolutely a duo. And Geekie has refound his footing as one of the hottest scorers in the game. And it's been super impressive to watch. And, like, you see Geekie's goal last night and what Pastrnak does on the play. Like, for so long, I felt like it was mostly goal scoring that was the focus for David. And understandable, you still had Bergeron, you still had Marchand, whatever. But, like, Pastrnak's playmaking is absolutely ridiculous, and it led to the Bruins being able to pull out an overtime win last night against Nashville.
And again, like, when we talked about Rasmus Dahlin and those type of guys, it's the creativity. It's saying, like, hey, you know what? I'm going to try this play. I'm Rasmus Dahlin. I'm going to try this play. I'm David Pastrnak. And you look at the passing and the deception that they put into their playmaking. Mm-hmm. It's just, to me, it's what separates those players. So, yeah, David Pastrnak, like, he's not Joe Thornton. He can still score a lot more than Joe Thornton, but the playmaking ability with Morgan Geekie reminds me a lot of Thornton and Jonathan Chichu in San Jose, or Glenn Murray in Boston, right? Those were the guys that were benefiting from the playmaking of a Joe Thornton, and David Pastrnak can definitely make the plays.
Well, he made it to Geekie early in the game when the Bruins had a 2-0 lead. He drew everyone into him at the blue line, and then Geekie gets his 30th of the year. So remember, like, that puts Geekie right near the top, behind the McDavids and McKinnons of the world in goals. And then, for all this talk about playmaking, Pastrnak does a net drive in overtime and gets the winner just basically by crashing. But Geekie looks really hot right now, and that's, I mean, it's tough for everybody else in the division, but I'm glad for him, because I've really enjoyed his story, his emergence after being, you know, highly regarded, and then it just didn't work in Seattle, and here he is continuing to be one of the game's best goal scorers.
Listen, work on your skills, trust your training, trust your preparation, don't take a day off, and that's what Morgan Geekie's done to be able to gain back his confidence that he's, and the chemistry that he's found with a guy like David Pastrnak in Boston, and again, like, you know, Detroit, Buffalo, Montreal, Ottawa. Ottawa now is going to get Linus Allmark back, so maybe they're making a push. I don't know if it's too late, too little, too late. But, you know, you got all these teams, and Boston's in there that were trying to find their footing. And a lot of them have found it a little unexpectedly this season.
Yeah, fair to say. And, you know, we were talking so much about hat tricks last night because Dahlin had one for the Sabres. Well, I was in the group text. I was typing to you and producer Sam as this was unfolding. Jared McCann was flying last night for Seattle. And, of course, he gets a clear-cut breakaway for what will be the hat trick goal. And John Forslund is super excited. And the hats start raining down after McCann scores. And, unfortunately, the goal was called back. So,
because of a penalty that was called,
I think we got the wrong footage here. But anyway.
Yeah, that wasn't that goal, but
no,
that was a
different game.
One.
Anyway, so he's on a breakaway. They score. And then all of a sudden, there's like this review for a high stick on Beniers. And it's like,
Well, wait a minute. Nobody blew the whistle. Like, what's going on here? I know. But it's alarming in the moment, especially if you're sitting there in the stands, probably. Like, wait a minute. What just happened?
Or if it was a Stanley Cup playoff game and you're like, you know, this is a big goal. But just so you know how that works, is a linesman can call a double minor or a major high-sticking penalty if there's blood. They have to see the evidence, and they have to wait until they have that evidence. So they don't call it right away.
Right.
Then they look, and they're like, oh, he's bleeding.
Yeah.
I saw the high stick. It goes to the referee. Now they can review it, and they say, well, there was a penalty, and we got to call it so the goal comes off. It's all done by the letter of the law.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be people that are going to put videos online that says, the NHL really didn't want Jordan McCann to get another hat trick because look at how bad this was. It wasn't bad. It was done the right way.
Yeah.
Don't go for clicks, people. Don't go for clicks.
No, but it sucks to lose your hat on a non-hat trick. So I felt for the fans in Seattle there. There's no question. All right.
Everybody gets 50% off on hats the next day.
You would hope so. We want you here tomorrow. The Kings are in. It's Black History Celebration. There's a specialty jersey auction, themed concession options, and an awful lot more. And make sure you check out Sabres.com as well for the story behind the jersey. Visit Sabres.com/tickets to purchase yours. Kings and Sabres tomorrow. Shayna Goldman coming up on Sabres Live.